Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Darlene Willman, your host of today's Accomplish Radio Morning Show, and the publisher of Accomplish Magazine. And most of you don't know that we switched to a different theme music for our introduction for 2011, and for some reason the system played last year's introduction. So you just never know what technology is going to do, right? So today I'm so excited to have some great questions to ask for our guest on today's show. And before I actually bring her on the air with us, I wanted to just tell you just a few things. First of all, Accomplish Magazine has the brand new issue has just been released. So if you have not seen it yet, we hope that you'll visit AccomplishMagazine.com and sign up to get your free subscription and view the magazine. There's lots of great articles and, of course, fabulous success stories. And as you know, our radio show interviews, some of them are selected to be published in the magazine. And where it's a digital magazine, it can be reached anywhere in the world. That's why we have chosen Blog Talk Radio to be our radio station so that we can reach a global market. And so we have people from all over the world that have been receiving the magazine. And we found out this morning that we are close to 12,000 listeners that have tuned in to the Accomplish Radio Morning Show. And I am just so grateful for everyone out there that share what's going on with Accomplish Magazine and Radio and that are drawn to our audience and want to be a part of our experience. If this is your first time joining us, we're really glad you found us. And we broadcast the show every weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central, which is 11 Eastern and 8 Pacific. Just a little FYI, every once in a while there is a last-minute challenge or a guest that perhaps was on the show that didn't make it. So every once in a while the show doesn't broadcast. So some people are going, well, there was no show yesterday, and that was because we actually had to reschedule the previous guest on the show. And I'm starting to learn some new techniques in my own life and in my business that it's I can either stress and fill myself with anxiety and, you know, go out there trying to find another last-minute guest, or I can let it go, release it, and everyone will forgive me for that. So I hope that people will say, that's okay, Darlene. You didn't have to go crazy looking for a guest. Instead, I use that time for planning and strategizing for this year. We have a lot of great things that will be coming out for Accomplish Magazine and Radio. As you know, the majority of our guests that will be on the show for the month of January are about productivity, time management, goal setting, or organizational tips. Well, today's guest doesn't fit into any of that. she is someone that I had spoken with back in December. Actually, it may have been even in November. And I was just so impressed by what she's doing that I just had to bring her on the show. And so we're going to be talking about domestic violence and how you can be involved to prevent that. So you'll be hearing more about that. Also want to remind everyone to look us up on Facebook. If you just simply type in Accomplish Magazine, you can find our group and join us on Facebook. And, you know, of course, we're always looking at different accomplishment stories that we can feature and highlight in Accomplish Magazine. If you visit our website, again, AccomplishMagazine.com, you can submit a story and, you know, it might be selected to be put in one of the future issues. Now, Accomplish Magazine has been growing so quickly. I'm just amazed at how fast everything is developing. And, you know, I'm really grateful for the people that are stepping up, that are saying, you know what, I can be involved. I have a little time. You know, what can I do to help and support, you know, the whole thing? And so we're having people actually submit a request that we're looking just for talented individuals that have a variety of different skill sets. And so there's a lot more that goes to putting together a magazine and a radio show than I ever imagined. I did not go to broadcasting school or, you know, go to college for becoming a publisher. So this has been a learning experience for me as well. But I'm realizing as this grows in such a rapid pace that I need to have some other folks that want to participate and be more involved. And and also before I introduce our guest, if you are in the St. Louis area, make sure you check out the new St. Louis Networking Club. It is a new program that is hosting different events throughout the area, and you can learn more at stlouisnetworking.com, and Saint is abbreviated, so that's stlouisnetworking.com. If you've been tuning into our show on a regular basis, you know I always introduce you to somebody who has accomplished a lot of great things. And today's guest is Amanda Graybill. She's from San Antonio, Texas, and she's a speaker, author, and the founder of the Little Black Dress Society. It's a service organization she founded in 2009 that is committed to ending the abuse of women. It's a classy organization representing a classic dress. Wearing little black dresses, women work and play together to build awareness, raise funds, and impact the lives of women touched by abuse. Amanda is personally committed to ending the abuse of women while encouraging other women to join her in this worthy cause. And she's been, you know, for over 20 years, she's touched the hearts of women through her passion of empowering them to live their life to the fullest. And she is a contributing author to two books, and in 2007, her own inspirational novel, The Little Black Dress, was released, exploring the power of forgiveness and bringing hope to its readers. She recently received the 2010 Phoenix Award in San Antonio for the work she does to bring awareness to domestic violence. She also volunteers her time teaching self-esteem to women, equipping them for both life and employment, therefore restoring their passion to fulfill their dreams. Welcome to our show today, Amanda. Are you with us?
I am. Thank you so much, Darlene.
What a pleasure having
this,
you.
But,
I know.
What a great way
you
to
and
start
I connected.
The new year.
It's been like, I know it's been at least a month since we originally connected. In fact, I think one of our mutual friends that also had you on their radio show introduced us.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right? Is that how we connected?
Alexandra.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Yes, that was such a great, you know, it's really nice that they're out there, you know, trying to support others. And, you know, I have to tell you, I am just so impressed by what you have done and the direction that you're going. So first of all, congratulations. You know, I know launching your own society to support abused women and to really put an end to domestic violence is no small task. So, you know, I'm really excited to have a chance to interview you.
Thank you so much. It's been quite a journey. It's not always an easy one, as, you know, I was just listening to you talk about your journey and the talk radio show and your magazine. And, you know, it's not always easy. We come against people that don't agree with what we're doing, or they don't support it, or they don't understand it. But, you know, you keep going because it's what you feel like you're called to do, and that's where I'm at right now with my passion to end the abuse of women across the globe.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I just think that there's a great power in the resources and things that you're developing. And, you know, for women who have achieved success, you know, there are things that we can be doing to, you know, help some other women that are suffering. And what you've created is that platform, that avenue that women can say, you know what, yeah, I need to be more involved. I need to help some other women that have not had the opportunities that we've had, and to help change the course of their life to just inspire them, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And really that has been my mission, my goal from the very beginning in starting this organization. because of my own story, my own background, I really want to be able to inspire, first of all, inspire women who become members of the Little Black Dress Society to go out and to step beyond themselves, not think about this is all about me anymore. This isn't about us. This is about doing something for our society, particularly in a cause like this one, ending abuse of women of all sorts. It's just been such a hush-hush topic for so long, for too long.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we want to help women reach out and forget the competition and the pettiness that we often have in different groups that are formed, because it's really not about that.
Yeah, this is a much bigger picture that I think is going to impact a lot of other folks out there. You know, Amanda, I know that you have your story, and I really want to hear that. So would you be willing to share that with us?
Sure, sure. I started out as a young girl. I remember when I was about 4 years old, my father lost his job. He became disabled, and he became very angry. His whole personality changed, and he began to drink. And when he did that, my life changed, because I watched my father become, in his anger, take it out on my mother, more emotionally, verbally, than he did physically. But even still, looking back, it really did affect me. It affected the way I looked at or viewed men as I grew up. And not only that, but as a teenager, what I did is I unknowingly would be attracted to young men that would treat me bad, because I didn't know. That was normal to me. You know, what you get used to becomes very normal to you. And so as I grew through, you know, my teenage years, I just allowed men to take advantage of me and abuse me, because that's what I thought I was supposed to get. That's what I thought I deserved, and that was normal. And oftentimes as women who go through any types of abuse, whether it's sexual abuse or physical abuse through domestic violence or date abuse or verbal abuse, which can be extremely hurtful and leave long-term effects on you as a person, you grow up thinking, or you believe that system is what you deserve, and you can't change, because you're in it, and you're thinking, well, that's life, that's the way it's supposed to be, and it's not going to be any different. And the thing is it takes a lot of time and a lot of healing to go through that, as it did with me, which is really where my book came in, The Little Black Dress, which is my story. I wrote it as an inspirational fiction, and it is a little book with a huge message of redemption, restoration, and love. But that was a healing process in itself for me, to realize that, you know what, I deserve to be loved. I'm worthy of love. And I had to believe in loving myself first.
That's a big point, isn't it? I think a lot of women feel that they're a caregiver, that they're the ones that have to give out to everyone else before they look at themselves. And, you know, we've always heard that saying, it's almost nearly impossible to love others or receive love from others till you love yourself first. And, you know, that's kind of a hard thing to handle.
I use the acronym for Little Black Dress as Love, Believe, Dream. You'll see that often. But the reason I feel like that came up was exactly what you just said, Darlene, because we have to be able to love ourselves before we can allow others to love us and before we can allow ourselves to love others. Mm-hmm. So it's the circle. And then the belief comes in. If you love yourself, you can believe that anything is possible. And, you know, part of the Little Black Dress Society is that we want to inspire women to love themselves and to believe that their lives can change and that they can be anything that they want to be. And then the third part of that is dream. And so many times, and I've heard so many stories of women who, because they don't love themselves, they have low self-esteem because of abuse, they have put their dreams on the back burner. I mean, because you think, how in the world could I possibly dream? You know, how could my dreams come true? And that is such a lie. And mm-hmm. we really want to inspire women to love, believe, and dream and to go back and think about what their dreams are and to move from being that victim of abuse to being the woman that God created them to be, and to be powerful and to empower them to dream and to step out in faith and to fulfill those dreams.
That's incredible. I just really like everything that you've created, that you stand for, and you know, the women that are out there that are still blaming themselves, you know, they need to release that part of that guilt process, that it's not their fault, you know, and
right.
that they need to take that stand. You know, I think a lot of times they're afraid to stand up for themselves and, mm-hmm. you know, afraid to buck the system. You know, those people that are in those abusive situations, you know, first of all, they remain in that probably because they're comfortable there. You know, they don't know anything
mm-hmm.
different.
It's really important for us to help them.
It
becomes a norm for them. But also at the same time, it is very difficult for a woman to leave a domestic violence situation. And a lot of people don't understand that unless you've been there. Many of these women have children involved in, you know, in the relationship. And so they think that staying in the situation is the best thing for the children, but really it's the worst thing for the children because the children are growing up in an environment where their minds are being formed around this type of behavior. And whether it's young boys or it's young girls or teenagers, this is what they're going to have in their heads. This is the way I'm supposed to be treated. I'm looking at my mother being treated that way. Is that the way I'm supposed to treat a woman? You know, mm-hmm. or is that the way that I'm supposed to be treated when I'm dating? You know, which is really
what happens. Yeah, so it has a long-term effect, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the best thing that you can do, if there's any possible way, is to get out of the situation, remove yourself, you know, from the situation. And I know that it's very difficult, but we want women to know that they're not alone in this journey. And we've set up our website so that we have resources available for women who, if they go to our website at LBD, which stands for Little Black Dress Society.com, and click on the resource page, there's a wealth of information. There's 800 members. There's organizations that they can be in touch with that we support as an organization.
Hmm. You know, Amanda, when did you figure out that, you know, you were ready to take this to this level? I mean, when did you finally say, you know what, I'm ready to start, you know, I guess you had to do a 501c3, or I'm not sure if you're built as a under a foundation, I'm not exactly sure how you created what you're doing, but when did you finally say, you know what, I'm ready to take that next step?
Well, this has been about a 7-year journey, and I have to tell you that for 7 years I put it on the back burner. It was something that I felt called to do, but for whatever reason, I just wasn't ready. And my family kept reminding me, you know, when I would go off and do something else, get on different tangents to procrastinate from not doing it, they would always remind me that, Mom or honey, you're supposed to be doing the Little Black Dress Society. Why are you doing this? And I finally stepped out in faith in 2009, 2 years after my book came out, and decided to launch the society as an organization. It's set up as a corporation as it stands right now, as membership-based, so that women can come on board and join the organization. We are in the process of setting up our 501c3, which will be the Little Black Dress Society Foundation, and we hope to have that by hopefully this next quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. And what that will do is, the way it's set up now, which will stay that way, is as a membership-based organization, women who join, women who start a society, are supporting this organization by sustaining us being able to build awareness, raise funds, and positively impact the lives of women touched by abuse. So their membership right now, the membership fees go to sustain the organization, marketing, our website, all of the things, all of, you know, every paperwork that goes into running this organization. And what we're excited about is, once we get our 501c3, our nonprofit leg in place, then 100% we'll be able to fund to build shelters across the nation and hopefully globally, and expand existing shelters, so that, you know, the funds that you know, we sustain the organization, but we also are putting a lot of money into helping to fight abuse.
That's really good. To put in funds to expand, to enhance some of the shelters, to create new ones. You know, if there's enough choices and enough options out there for women that are in those situations, that they can turn to these places for that safety. You know, that they just need to have some place to for protection. You know, would you share your mission with us for Little Black Dress?
Yes. Our mission is you meant as like our mission statement, or why we exist, basically, is we are a society of women committed to ending the abuse of women of all types of abuse, and whether it's physical, sexual, emotional. We dress up in our little black dresses, and, you know, women think that that is fun because, you know, this is a serious topic. It's a topic that people don't want to talk about. And so to make this, to add a little fashion and a little fun to such a serious topic, women like that because, you know, part of this mission is that we come together and build relationships, and we're networking with one another in our own personal lives, in our business lives, of sorts. It is kind of like a sorority of sorts for women, but with a great cause behind it, to build awareness that domestic violence, physical abuse, sexual abuse, sex trafficking, all of those types of abuse are taking place. And to raise funds through our societies who form across the nation, these are women who can, we call them dressmakers, they can start a society in their own city, in their own town. and invite their friends, their coworkers, to come on board and join this great cause, and begin to carry out the mission that we have: build awareness, raise funds, and positively impact the lives of women touched by abuse. So, like a society in San Antonio gets together once a month with their group, and they do something, whether it's taking some diapers and toiletries over to a shelter or going over and volunteering, cooking a meal, taking clothing, something that fits into our mission statement. And by doing that together, collectively, we make a bigger impact. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was going to actually talk to you about the analogy of the whole dressmaker. You want to share why you chose the term dressmaker?
Yes, it's, you know, it's very interesting. If you, I sent you a book, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
The Little Black Dress? Okay.
It's adorable.
Well, in my book, Mandy, who's the character, she meets the dressmaker by peering in a window. It takes place around Christmas, during the holidays, and she's peering in a window in downtown Atlanta, which is where I'm originally from, and it's all decked out, you know, in holiday spirit, and she is looking in the window. She's homeless. She's dirty. She has no self-esteem whatsoever, and she watches this older gentleman who is designing a little black dress, and she's reminded of this little black dress that she received when she was 4 years old, which I still have to this day, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it is, gosh, how old is it now? It's 51. It's 51 years old, and it's so special to me because it was given to me at that time when my father became abusive towards my mom. And it almost became like a security blanket to me. So as Mandy is peering through this window, she is watching this older gentleman make this dress on this old dress form, and all she can think of is how special she could feel if she could have that dress. And I won't go into the end of the story because it is a short book, but the dressmaker changes her life. So the analogy of the dressmaker and why we call our leaders dressmakers is because we're life changers. Our dressmakers we hold in the highest esteem. These are women who come on board this to be in this organization because they believe in what we're doing, and they want to make a change in our society and to end the abuse of women. So we really are wanting women to join us, to start their own society, to be a dressmaker, to take that serious, because this isn't about, it really isn't about the dress. It's about the women wearing the dress.
Hmm.
It's what's inside, and we want to help women change what's inside.
I really like that. I mean, there's so much to that, and the story is just, you know, very inspiring. And, you know, I wanted to find out, you know, what types of, well, first of all, you mentioned briefly the different types of abuse that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe some women don't even realize that their situation is kind of considered abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's a way, or maybe you've already thought of this or covered this at some point in time, when do you know that you're in an abusive situation?
Well, basically, behaviors, anything that threatens you, behaviors that frighten you, that intimidate, terrorize, even manipulation, which is huge, humiliation, blame, those are all types of abuse. And often women, they don't think of it as abuse when their intimate partner, you know, controls their behavior, tells them that what they can wear and what they can't wear and where they can go and who their friends can be. They don't consider that as abuse, and yet it is a manipulative behavior that is definitely considered abuse. And the other thing, too, Darlene, is that, you know, abuse happens in all races, all ages. It's all social, economic areas. It's, you know, it happens across the globe. There's no sexual orientation. There's no religion that it affects one over the other. And, you know, it happens to couples who are married, living together, dating, you know. And on, again, on the website under the resources, there's a whole section that says, am I being abused? And there's a checklist that you can go to. You know, one, for instance, is embarrass you with put-downs.
Hmm.
You know, controls what you do or who you can talk to. I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You know, that I think a lot of times that's something that people need to evaluate. They need to determine if their current environment is making them feel better or worse. You know, I think sometimes it's just a matter of taking your own sort of internal instincts, your own dialogue, you know, and those feelings, the emotions. I mean, if you're in a circumstance that, you know, it doesn't make you feel great and it doesn't inspire you to do more, you're not getting support and encouragement, and instead, you know, they're trying to belittle you or take you down a notch or, you know, talk down to you, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, there are all forms of that that I'm sure happen a lot, you know, and more in, especially, okay, I'm just going to say it. When women decided to take on the role of being more aggressive, right? They started, you know, starting their own companies, and they started, you know, taking a stand. And when women decided to do some of the male-dominated, you know, positions, I think there was a little bit of a conflict that was happening with men. I don't know if it was just a, you know, and I'm not saying this happened across the board other than I think that started this whole transition when it came to some of the violence that, or I don't want to say violence, because this would be more of the silent type of abuse that might be going on out there that, you know, perhaps maybe intimidating somebody. You know, if a man feels threatened that he's not the provider, perhaps, or the more success that a woman receives, can that have a negative impact on that relationship, and could there be some abuse that comes from it?
Well, I think absolutely, and, you know, that really depends on the relationship and the man in that relationship and, you know, how he feels about that woman and, you know, if he feels threatened. And if he does feel threatened, then, yes, often it will lead to that controlling, manipulative behavior, which is, you know, definitely abuse. And it will keep a woman from, you know, fulfilling her dreams, you know. So, you know, the thing is that we want healthy relationships. And I know that, you know, I'm going to say this, that men also are abused. I mean, I just heard a story right here in San Antonio this week that some, you know, woman went in and beat her boyfriend or something, you know. I mean, it does happen. It happens on both sides. But, you know, what we're talking about is women's abuse. And but I did want to recognize the fact that I know it happens to men as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, but what this organization stands for, why we exist, is to end the abuse of women of all types. So, and statistics are just amazing to me. I mean, one in four women are abused. And, you know, I just heard just was this week, actually, on Dr. Phil. He has actually started a campaign, and I was so glad to see that he started a campaign to silence, end the silence on domestic violence. And I'm like, it is about time that someone with a powerful voice such as his is trying to get the word out there. Because when you go to my website or to our website, Little Black Dress Society, the thing that you see first on the banner is this woman that was created that has a blindfold. And she's beautiful, red lips, she's got a black blindfold on. And the reason that came about, well, there's a whole story behind it, but I won't go into it. But anyway, what we see with that is that we want to, as an organization, want to help remove that blindfold from the women who have been abused or are being abused so that they can see their beauty, their true beauty, the person that God created them to be. The other part of that is to remove the blindfold from our society, which I thought was so interesting that Dr. Phil, you know, has come up with this campaign, and so glad that he has, to end the silence on domestic violence. People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to know that their next-door neighbor is abusing his wife, you know, or the person they're going to church with is abusing their wife. I mean, people don't want to talk about it. And it's time that we remove the blindfold and start talking about it and do something about it.
So, well, let's talk just briefly about that. No, that's good, because, and I think this is important that our audience hears your message, you know, because you're right, so many people are out there that, you know, they're keeping it silent, they're keeping their opinions to themselves instead of taking a stand for it, you know, and it's time that they do finally, you know, make a comment or, you know, a mention. So what advice would you say to someone who is in a particular situation that, you know, what would be like her first steps to actually break away from the abusive situation?
Well, first of all, she needs to admit that she's in an abusive situation. She needs to recognize the signs. Mm-hmm. And then once she does that, she needs to find someone that she can talk to. It's so important to get it out, someone that you can trust to speak to about it, that you can admit to that this is happening in your life. Because, you know, the part of healing process is admitting in any type of, you know, if you look at addiction, the a part of that is admitting that you're addicted to drugs. And, you know, this is an addiction by all means, but it is something that if you can speak it out to someone that you trust, that is a huge step. And then taking that next step to figuring out what is your exit strategy, you know, what steps can you take to get out of the relationship. And I know financially for women, it is very scary, but it's, do you want to continue in that relationship and continue to be abused, whether it's physical or emotional, you know, or sexual, you know, whatever, and put your kids through that, or do you want to have a fresh start? And that's why we have shelters, and that's why we need more shelters and more long-stay shelters for, or extended-stay shelters for women, so that they can get the healing that they need and move on to that next step. But and counseling, I think, is a huge thing as well. So
is that something that is also a part of Little Black Dress Society, that women will have access to that support as well?
Well, we are not set up as counselors. We're not trained. We're not trained counselors. We try to provide information through our website for women to get help through other organizations, like the hotline the national hotline numbers that we have on our website, the resources, for instance, that we have, let me pull that up for a minute, like it's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. We have that number on there. We've got the Dress for Success that we support, and the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. I mean, these are types of things. We even have, like, the womenslaw.org on our website so that they can get referrals for protective and restraining order information. This is where we come in. We hope, you know, perhaps one day that we'll be able to even have some counselors that at some point will be available, you know, to have our own hotline. But that, of course, is down the road. We have to right now concentrate on growing the organization so that we can, you know, fulfill this mission statement to build awareness, first of all, and then allow these women to have more shelters and places that they can go and get help. And
wow.
Then obviously, you know, for women who are members of the Little Black Dress Society to have that hands-on, I think that is so important, and such an integral part of being a member of the Little Black Dress Society is to come together as a society and to reach out to women in need, you know, ministering to them in different ways with a hands-on approach so that they know that they're not alone. So a lot of the members that I have been in domestic violence situations, and then I'd say 50%, and then 50% are women who just believe in this cause and they want to support this organization by being a member and helping
mm-hmm.
it grow so that we can help the cause.
Now, this is perfect. So for our audience, you've been listening to Amanda Graybill, and her website is lbdsociety.com, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And they can also visit us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/lbdsociety, and we are posting something on there almost, well, every day, sometimes twice a day. And then also we are also on Twitter. They look up Little Black Dress Society on Twitter. We're always on there as well. So, but lots of information for them, and anyone who wants to start a society, we actually can go global even at this point. As long as it is English-speaking, we can do that, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to open up societies in other countries that are non-English-speaking.
So what are your plans for Little Black Dress Society in 2011?
Well, the first thing on the board is getting our foundation formed. That's the number one goal, and we're working on that as we speak. So I feel like that's very, very important. We've given it 1 year to kind of help brand ourselves. The Little Black Dress Society is registered trademark, and so the brand is very important. We hope, too, that I'd love to get on the Dr. Phil show. That is a goal. So if anybody's out there listening, we really would like to partner with Dr. Phil, because he started this silence on domestic violence, or opening up that door. So, and the other goal was just getting women. Big goal is to get women involved, to get them to join this cause, and to realize that starting a society in their city can make a huge impact in changing women's lives and empowering them to step out of an abusive situation and love, believe, and dream again.
That's fantastic. So if our audience wants to get involved, they should just visit the website. They can join. They can become a dressmaker. They can start hosting the monthly get-togethers and
start to really impact their city. So no matter where you are, no matter what place that you reside in, if you have the time and you have the passion and the ability to inspire other people, and even if they don't, and they still want to just be a part of this whole movement, this whole process, then I hope that people listening will visit your website. Again, it's lbdsociety.com, standing for Little Black Dress. And we are talking today with Amanda Graybill, the founder of the organization. And, boy, our time is almost completely up. We've gone through our program here, and we're almost at the end of our show. But I wanted to ask you one last question before we decide to wrap up today.
Okay.
If you could go back in time and you were a 10-year-old little girl, what advice would you give to yourself?
Well, you're going to make me cry here.
Aww.
Well, you know, I would tell myself to never give up on my dreams. I would tell myself that I am loved and that I'm important and that no one can change who God created me to be. Wow. I wasn't expecting this one, Darlene.
I'm sorry. This is so important for you and our listeners, and I'm so glad
well,
you're sharing this.
You know, we lose our innocence, and I watch young girls, even more so now than when I was growing up, that lose their innocence so early, and they don't realize how it affects them for the rest of their life. And what you have when you're a little girl, we want to have as an adult woman and feel that we are beautiful and that we are loved unconditionally and that we deserve that love. And that's what I would tell myself.
That's great. Very powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know,
I mean, that's
why
I always
impressed.
Talk about dancing, you know, never stop dancing. Of course, that's a big part of my book as well, because when Mandy meets the dressmaker, her life changes. And so I always say, love, believe, dream, and I sign all my books that way, and never stop dancing.
Mm-hmm, I love it. Never stop dancing. Wow, Amanda, this has been fantastic. I am just, you know, so impressed by everything that you're doing, and I really hope that people out there that are listening to our show today that take the time to visit her website to learn about what she's, you know, working towards and to join forces with her to find out, you know, how you can be more involved and participate. And it doesn't matter what level, you know, anything, a little bit here, a little bit there, it all adds up. It's all accumulative. Everybody...
Right.
You know, building that awareness together and changing, you know, and ending the whole domestic violence. Really, I appreciate everything that you stand for and for taking time out of your day to be with us and talking and sharing with us today. Yeah, I know. I wanted
Thank
to ask
you
before we end our show, is there anything else that you might want to share with us?
Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your show. I've been following you since we talked a month or so ago, and love what you're doing. And I just want to thank all the listeners today for listening into the show, and those that might tune in later and realize that, you know, this isn't about Amanda Graybill. This is about ending the abuse of women. And if you would like to come on board and be a part of this movement, we definitely need you, and we'll definitely put every effort into doing what we are called to do in this movement. So thank you, and we just keep looking for what we're going to be doing next, because it's very exciting.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, anybody who's listening who has a connection to Dr. Phil, make sure you connect with Amanda and, you know, or perhaps give her a connection, a resource, or something that might bring her a little bit closer, or perhaps that you're also on that same bandwagon trying to connect with Dr. Phil. Maybe you two or several of you can, you know, get together and get his attention simultaneously.
There we go. Hey, we'll just put on our little black dresses and get in the audience and, you know.
That's great.
wear our little black dress pins, you know, and come together. We could do that. So
yeah.
Anybody out there, we can get on the show together, wear all our little black dresses. That might get his attention.
That's perfect. Again, thank you for being here with us. It's such a pleasure to talk with you. And,
thank you.
Know, I hope that people will stand and do some things, get involved, participate, and really help you with everything that you're working towards.
Thank you. God bless you in the new year.
You too. You have a fabulous day. And for those of you that are listening to the Accomplish Radio Morning Show, if you enjoyed our broadcast today, I hope you click on our little follow us button that's located on the screen. You can actually see that at accomplishradio.com. And mark your calendar. Each weekday morning, we broadcast at 10 a.m. Central. We hope you start your day with us and get these words of inspiration and, you know, to hear all these great accomplishments and things that people are doing to make an impact and change the lives of thousands of people around the world. And I also want to remind everyone to tune in to the our Friday shows are actually now known as the Shameless Promotion Show. And each Friday, my friend and co-host, Shelley Rice, from the Chocolate Blues and Business Networking Festival, we get on the air. We invite people to call in and share their one-minute commercial with us. And tomorrow is actually freebies edition. If you have something that you want to give away for free, or you have something as a sample or, you know, free advice or a free coaching session or a free book or free samples or, you know, a free downloadable ebook or something to that nature, we hope that you'll call in and share that with us on the air. Next week on January 13th, there is a Chocolate Blues and Business Networking Festival happening in Plano, Texas, which is just a little north of Dallas. And I will actually be there doing my very first official book signing at her event for the Incredible Business book that was just released here just, I guess, about a couple months ago now. And you can learn more about that at chocolatebluesandbusiness.com. We hope that you'll join us next week. And, of course, I will not be able to broadcast the show while I'm there in Dallas and traveling the day before, so that there will only be a couple of days next week that we'll be actually broadcasting the show. If you would like to have your business mentioned on the Accomplish Radio Morning Show, check out our radio spotlights that are available at AccomplishMagazine.com. And if you're considering being a guest on our show, we'd love to hear from you. Simply fill out the radio show request form. It's also located on our website. If you're an author, you can send us your book, and we'll review it. Of course, autographed copies always get special consideration. But we're definitely looking at all of 2011 will be themed shows each month. And so, again, this month is on productivity, time management, goal setting, and organizational tips. With the exception of today's show, obviously. And next month will be on relationships, and that will include, you know, personal and professional relationships. And then we're mapping out the remainder of the year. But if you would like to submit a radio show request, we'll notify you when those topics will be covered on our shows and bring you on as one of our guests. So, again, I want to thank everybody for taking time out of their morning and their day to tune into the Accomplish Radio Morning Show. This has been a great time together and getting a chance to talk with Amanda and getting behind everything that she's working towards for this year and for years to come. So, again, thank you so much for joining us on the Accomplish Radio Morning Show. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments.